This is the KPQ Legislative Hotline, the weekly live update from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia on News Radio 560 KPQ, FM 101.7.
Good morning, KPQ News. Time is 8:05. It's the KPQ Morning Update, third and final hour of the program getting underway on the 7th of March, 2024. And it's our last legislative hotline of the year. And it comes to us from the Capitol in Olympia with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us on Sine Die this morning, Jason.
Good morning, Senator Hawkins. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jason and Chris. I'm doing pretty well. It's been many long days, probably 14 hours a day for several days. I'm a little worn down, but I am excited that it is the final day.
Yeah.
It's been a very fast-paced session, but I'm glad we're here.
I can hear maybe a little bit of the, I don't know if you're run down, you may be tired, but I hear the excitement in your voice that it's about to be done as well. So that's something.
Definitely. My wife and I were just texting this morning, and my family's very excited for me to be done. I think all of the legislators are as well. So it's been a good session. We've gotten a lot of good things done. It's been very packed in 60 days. But, I'm excited to get out of here and excited about some of the accomplishments our district has delivered. Okay. Our legislative team has delivered for our district.
Well, okay, we have a story this morning that we're doing that I did on our website as well about how the representatives, both Gaynor and Steele, are very happy that more than $26 million of the capital budget's coming into here, into this district. And a lot of it coming into right here in Chelan County as well, into the area. So that's part of it. Let's talk about the budgets. As a matter of fact, right now, sine die, the last day, we just talked about the essence of, or what the history of that Latin word is, sine die, last day or whatever it is. Now, only the capital budget has been passed and is done. And you're saying that you'll be dealing today with the operating and the transportation budget?
Yeah, so the capital budget was kind of the easy budget because it had been bipartisan the whole way. And that's one of the reasons why, we're so excited that we have a lot of items in there for our district. Even though it's a supplemental year, we did get some major projects. I think the most notable project is $14.5 million for the Wenatchee Valley Technical Skills Center.
Yes.
Which is administered by Wenatchee School District, but it is a skill center that serves a regional population of students. So I'm really excited about that. A project that I sponsored for $1.3 million for Leavenworth Affordable Rental Project was fully funded in that. The state reps were very helpful with that as well. And we worked with the city of Leavenworth, Upper Valley Mend, just really excited to partner with them again on affordable housing. You know, there's been some regional sports complex and some, your article on your website detailed all the good projects. One thing about the capital budget I wanted to mention that I think is pretty exciting is that we took a major step forward at the state level on K-12 facility support, and we increased an allocation to school districts if they pass their school bonds at the local level. And it's pretty significant. And I think that increased allocation could potentially significantly benefit Eastmont School District if voters approve their bond in April.
Yeah.
So I shared that information with Eastmont School District. And I think that's another thing. It's not an individual project per se in the capital budget, but it is a funding formula adjustment that the legislature made that could potentially significantly benefit the East Wenatchee community over the upcoming years. And so the capital budget has been approved. It's off to the governor. The governor may take a couple weeks to review it and sign it. We don't anticipate that he will veto much, but that's always a possibility. And then the other two remaining budgets, the operating budget and the transportation budget, still need to be approved on this final day, but that is essentially what the whole day is dedicated towards, and we are on path to do that. I think the House will take the votes in the morning, and then it comes to the Senate in the afternoon.
You were saying that it could be a long day for you.
It could. You know, sometimes things slow down and end up going towards midnight. But I don't know if I don't think we're on track for that. But it could definitely go into the evening hours. We do have a deadline to finish by noon. Sometimes the governor has to call a one-day extra special session so that at 1 o'clock in the morning we can approve the final budgets and things. But I, like I said, things appear to be on track. We're not scheduled to go back to the Senate until 1 o'clock today for voting. So I believe the transportation budget and the operating budget will first be approved perhaps in the morning by the House, and then it comes over to the Senate. We have to take those two votes. And like what's interesting is every bill, including the budget bills, need to be approved in their identical form in both chambers before they can advance to the governor. So that's kind of the timing of everything. Both the House and the Senate need to take final action on those two budgets today in order for us to send it to the governor and adjourn on schedule.
Well, just think about it. There are how many senators? There are 49 and 98 House representatives, and anything can change at any time. Even if it's small, that could send it back to the other House.
Yeah, that's possible, although I believe these two budgets have been in what's called a conference committee. Okay. So when one chamber approves a budget and another chamber approves a budget and there's some differences, those differences are ironed out in the conference committee, and then that report comes out, and it's essentially an up or down vote. I don't believe the individual budget bills at this point for these two are subject to any potential floor amendments, because the floor amendments could slow those budgets down, but I think those would technically be ruled out of order based on the rules that we've laid out for this process. So I think we're looking at basically up or down votes on the two budgets. Okay. And so it should go relatively quickly, but there's obviously a lot of members and a lot of speeches and a lot of good things or bad things to say about them.
Yeah. Okay, I do have a quick question on before we move on to the initiatives about the transportation and all the just dramatic increases in construction costs here in the past day, really. I mean, the past year here, past 2 years, and the Confluence Parkway project. Where do we stand with that? What do you know about that?
Well, the Confluence Parkway project received $85 million, which is spread out over three different biennia. So that's over a six-year period, because we budget on two-year cycles. So all of that funding is still in place for the next 6 years. It is a local project, so the city of Wenatchee is managing that project. And I had extensive communications with the city of Wenatchee, Laura Gloria, and the mayor, Mike Poirier, before session. And they are in the process of sort of trying to find efficiencies with the project and to see if they can deliver the project within the money that was provided, both at the state level as well as the federal funding matches, the federal matching funds. And most of the larger scale projects that the state was operating for transportation, we largely resolved, but some of the funding issues, the more sticky funding issues, will need to be completely resolved next session. So we did some things in the transportation budget to address the cost escalations, and other things we sort of punted to next year. And I believe next year, if the city of Wenatchee does need some additional support for Confluence Parkway, that's something that I can advocate for in the 2025 session.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so possibly next session, more funding if it's needed, possibly for the Confluence Parkway project. Okay.
If just to be clear, if that's what the city of Wenatchee needs, I am prepared to support it. But I haven't been told yet that the city of Wenatchee will need that, because they're still working through their efficiencies to see if they can deliver the project as currently funded.
Okay, very good. Now let's move on to the initiatives. Three approved, three are advancing to the ballot. Of course, that was the decision by the majority Democratic party that controls the legislature. So your take on the three that got approved. Now, I was noticing myself, I'm going to bring this up, how the three that passed, the three that were up there that they're dealing with, that the Democratic Party okayed, passed, and with majority of Democrats as well as all of the Republicans who, of course, voted against them when they were passed by the legislature. Now we have a divide in the Democratic Party. And you were saying they did that for a reason, or they're passing these for a reason?
Well, yes, I'm just speculating, but these citizens' initiatives, all six of them, I believe are wildly popular. And they received an incredible number of signatures in 2023. And they will go to the ballot this November for a statewide vote if the legislature doesn't approve them. And so the legislature decided, I think strategically, the majority party, let's approve three of these. These ones, we almost are certain they will pass overwhelmingly by a statewide vote. Let's take those off the table and just approve them so that it doesn't potentially drive a gigantic voter turnout in November. And so I think that's part of it. And just honestly, I think they've heard from the people. So a few years ago, the legislature rolled back the ability for police pursuits. And we made a slight change last year because something was better than nothing. But we kept telling the Democratic members, hey, this is going to be a problem. You know, we need to trust our law enforcement and we don't support this. And we voted against it a few years ago. And then communities and law enforcement groups kept saying, this is a problem now. We can't engage in police pursuits. This is a major issue for public safety. And eventually the citizens signed these initiatives and put this issue before the legislature, and they had to support it. And some of the Democratic members still didn't want to, because many of them overwhelmingly supported rolling it back 3 years ago. But I think they saw the writing on the wall there. Same with the income tax citizen initiative, prohibiting an income tax. That's something that I believe is wildly popular in our state. And then the third one they approved was the parental rights in education, you know, guaranteeing parents access to curriculum and student information. Some of that they already have access to under law, and some of it was not as certain. So I think they did the strategic right thing by approving these, as well as the right thing on policy. But the remaining initiatives that were not acted upon were the three biggies as well.
Mm.
The
yes.
Climate Commitment Act, the capital gains tax, and the long-term care program. Those three initiatives do advance directly to the people this November for a statewide vote, and there's going to be probably a lot of money put into those initiatives on both sides and a huge messaging campaign and a huge turnout. I imagine the Democratic members will say the sky is going to fall if these three remaining initiatives are approved this November. But I don't believe that to be the case.
Well, we do know that two of them have raised just a lot of money, much more than they were anticipated to, especially the capital, or especially not the, well, both, but especially the carbon tax with how many billions is it now?
With the Climate Commitment Act and the auction revenues, all of those surplus monies came into the legislature this year. They're kind of built into some of the transportation, transit, pedestrian projects and other things. And the Democratic members wanted to spend all that money and build it all in the budgets. And that was one of the issues that we've had, because we don't want to spend all those dollars because they're subject to being repealed this November. And we believe they actually will. And if the budgets incorporate all of this spending from all of their revenues, then one, they're going to say, look at all these things that'll be eliminated if voters approve these initiatives to repeal them. But also, it will actually be more difficult in 2025 to resolve the budget if all of these programs are already spending all these dollars. We talked a little bit about the capital budget and all of the positive things, what we're doing for K-12 school facilities. Well, I should tell you, a good portion of some of those K-12 expenditures in the capital budget were a result of excess capital gains tax revenue that have come in. Now, with the capital budget, it's kind of one-time spending. So we have access to this excess capital gains revenues, and we're going to dedicate it towards K-12 education. Now, next year, when we develop the capital budget, if the capital gains tax is repealed, and I believe it quite possibly could be, there won't be as much revenue in the capital budget to allocate towards projects. So that's just a reality, a unique situation for this year that may not be available next year.
Okay, we're out of time. So quickly, in Brad Hawkins, three sentences, tell me about Running Start.
Oh, yeah. Well, Running Start is a program for high school juniors and seniors. My bill that is now on its way to the governor would allow students who completed their sophomore year but haven't started their junior year to take up to 10 credits in the summer to help ease them into the Running Start program. Right. I'm calling it a walking start to Running Start, and it's on its way to the governor.
Yeah, and it pretty much had bipartisan support all the way through. So great job with that. Okay, we are done because we are way out of time. We're over time, as a matter of fact. But Senator Brad Hawkins, thanks as always for being with us on the Legislative Hotline this session. I know we're going to be talking to you off and on during the off season here for the legislature. And we'll be back at it again next January with the Legislative Hotline. Have a great day, and hopefully you don't have to work until midnight tonight, sir.
Thank you so much. Always great to be with you guys.